Hello and welcome to Heavenly Manor with Milton Harris. Now, today's broadcast, we want to go into the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and we want to begin reading in verse number 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles when he whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem a 7 days' journey. Today we just want for a few minutes to look at the ascension of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to take the blessed the reading of your holy word. Lord, give us the right words to say. Lord, we pray that we will glorify and honor our Savior, Jesus Christ, is our prayer. Now, Lord, go with us. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Thank you for the cross, the resurrection, and the precious plan of salvation. Now, Lord, go with our listeners today. God, those that are hurting, God, I pray you give comfort. Those that are sick, Lord, we pray that you touch and heal according to thy precious and holy will. And maybe that one that has never been saved, may, Lord, they come today to the saving knowledge of you is our prayer. Now, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. As we begin to look at the ascension of Jesus Christ, we can see that there are proofs of his resurrection. One important proof is, of course, the empty tomb. I've had the privilege to go to Israel on several occasions, been there to the Garden Tomb. I've often had the question put to me, well, wonder if that's not the right tomb. My answer is always, well, then there's another empty tomb over here, for he is risen. And by the way, I didn't have to go to Israel to see the empty tomb to believe that he is alive and well and risen. I already believed it in my heart and know it in my heart. But there is the empty tomb that is proof of his resurrection. Then, of course, there are the eyewitness testimonies. Those accounts, there he said in verse number 3, infallible proofs. For some 40 days, he showed himself alive after his resurrection before he ascended up. And so there is the empty tomb, the eyewitness testimonies. But let me say to you today, there is that Holy Spirit that's in my heart there again to me That is proof of his resurrection. And so we see there are proofs of his resurrection, but let's look at his ascension for just a few minutes. Begin with first the place of his ascension. In verse number 12, it tells us it was from a place called the Mount of Olives. And we want to first, we look at the significance of the place, maybe concerning the residents that are there. We find that in Luke 24:50, and he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. We know that the Mount of Olives is in the area of Bethany. We know that in this area that Simon the leper, in whose house that Christ was anointed with the alabaster ointment. So we see Simon the leper. There's Lazarus, who we know was a friend of Christ and was raised from the dead by Christ. And then there was Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters and friends of Christ. And it's important to note that that before his crucifixion, he would go to Jerusalem, but he would come back to this area around Bethany, the Mount of Olives, there to where his friends were. So we see the residents, but not only that, they're concerning, look at this significant place concerning his return, Zechariah 14. And let's pick up with verse number 5. This is Old Testament prophet, Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And they shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azar, yet you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judea. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So here we find in Zechariah 14, there, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. So we find that when the Lord literal return, I'm talking about when he comes to the earth, how we No, here he's coming back in the clouds, because that's what these angels said. But then he's going to have a literal return when he comes and he steps foot there on the Mount of Olives. So the place of his ascension is significant, not only because of the residence, but because that's where, when he returns to earth, that's where he's literally going to stand. So we see the place of his ascension, the significance of that. But then we see the promises associated with his ascension. First, let me say, he talked about receiving there the Holy Spirit. We find that in verse number 5, when he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then he said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witness unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth." So we see here the promise that is associated with his ascension is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We know that there are 10 days on the day of Pentecost later after he ascended up there, the church was birthed and the Holy Spirit then came down and began to dwell in believers. So we find the receiving the Holy Spirit. We see the restoring of Israel is promised here with his ascension. He said that, "And when therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times as the seasons which the Father have put in his own power." So we see here that there is a problem. He said, the Father knows when this is going to take place. Now, if it was not going to take place, if Israel was not going to be restored, then I believe Jesus would have said, "Hey, there, Israel's not going to be restored." And the church would come in and replace Israel, but he did not. The church has not replaced Israel, and there is a restoration of Israel to come. Then the revelation of the gospel was in verse number 8. And let me say this, the gospel, to carry the gospel message out, we need to go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we see the revelation of the gospel when he said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in both Judea and Samaria, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and then to the othermost part of the earth. To me, it's unique in that he began at home with Jerusalem and then branched out to all Judea and then branched out to Samaria, which is the only on the outer parts there of Judea, and then to the othermost part of the earth. To me, it's important. I believe in missions. I believe we're to fulfill the Great Commission. But we begin at home, and then we spread out from there. We should have a burden to see souls saved and to get the gospel message out here in our local area and then across the United States and then into the other areas of the earth. But anyway, we see the revelation. So we see the receiving of the Holy Spirit is a promise there associated with his ascension. The restoring of Israel, we see that there is a promise that's going to be fulfilled. We see the revelation of the gospel here that is promised in verse number 8. And then we see the return of the Lord is a promise here in his ascension. Verse number 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So we see the return of the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we see the promise that here is associated with his ascension, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, which we know happened on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. We see the restoring of Israel is a promise that's going to take place. We see the revelation of the gospel here, the power to carry the gospel message out, and that we will be witnesses not only at home, but around the world. And then the promise of the return of the Lord that is associated with his ascension. But then lastly, look at the position after his ascension. The position of it as it relates to his posture. In Mark 16:9, So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So what is significant about it is, when he sat, that signified that the redemptive work was complete and done. Nothing to be added to it. Sit down meant it could rest. Sit down meaning it was done. You remember the high priest in the days of old, and they could never sit down because the work was never done. But this great high priest has sat down because redemptive work is done. But then look at this as it relates to his place. He's at the right hand of God. And we find that in this scripture. Then again, in Hebrews 10:12, Hebrews 12:12, Colossians 3:1, he's at the right hand of God. This is a position of authority. And this is also a position of ability. He is our great high priest. He has ability to the save to the othermost, and he has the ability to intercede on our behalf. Well, I hope this message has been a help. Sorry, my speech has been a little slurred today, but may it be a help and a blessing to you is our prayer.